We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
I'm doing the best Jimmy impression, showing up late.
Showing up late? No, I wasn't going to show up at all like Jimmy Butler. Holy shit, man. Fuck. First of all, that game was atrocious. It was one of the worst fucking games I watched all season.
So
it gave
annoying.
Me so much PTSD of last fucking season. This is why we were begging for a point guard last year, because our fucking offense looks like shit without Kyle Lowry and without Tyler Hero to bail us out with pulling points out of his ass. It was awful. And with all that said, against these sorry fucking Atlanta Hawks, Jimmy goes to the bench. They come back. Duncan Robinson goes absolutely fucking ham from three in the fourth quarter. Something everybody said he can't do. He did it. Four threes in the fourth quarter. Clutch three after clutch three after clutch three. Bam is playing out of his mind. The defense, finally, they're clamping down. And what happens? Jimmy Butler misses a wide open fucking layup. Surprise, surprise, because he's been blowing layups all night long. And then... Everybody in the fucking world knew, for some reason, down 2 points, we were going to go to a Jimmy Butler three. Jimmy Butler sucks at shooting three-pointers.
He made his 12th three of the season tonight.
Brass, the Boom! Three was for a Jimmy Butler three after he blew a fucking layup. Fucking Duncan Robinson has been hit four threes in the fourth. You made your bread and butter for fucking 2.5 years on a Bam Duncan Robinson dribble handoff. Nowhere to be fucking seen. Instead, we have the Caleb Martin, Jimmy Butler, super reliable two-man game in the fucking corner. What the fuck? Like, what is that? Like, no one has ever practiced the Caleb Martin, Jimmy Butler two-man game in the corner. It's never been practiced. No one's ever heard of it. And somehow, the Hawks, like everybody in the fucking world, knew the ball was going to Jimmy Butler for three. Then you even get the offensive rebound. And then Max Strus acts like he has a vibranium fucking brain instead of an arm and fucking decides to do a fucking game Strangy. Of 21 putback and thinks he's going to send the Hawks back to zero. It don't work like that, motherfucker. Bring the ball down. Fucking take a layup. He's fucking 4 seconds left. And you're shooting an off-balance jump? What are you doing? Holy shit. I am Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954. Welcome into the Miami Heat Beat post-game show, Hangover Time. It's a drip drop Friday, so I just got all my fucking frustrations out. I'm getting fucked up for the rest of the night. These motherfuckers are not going to get my goddamn pressure up. That's too fucking late. Free me out, Brass. Oh
fucking Solana, right from the jump. You haven't been on. Okay, fucking, that's strike one, motherfucker.
Into the show, I'm so sick and we of this. Already want him gone.
But I mean, oh my God, what a fucking shit show that was. If you're watching live on Twitch, thank you very much. We love you. Hit us with the subs, the bits. It's a drip drop Friday. You guys give up subs. Moose is going to yell like an idiot. I'm sorry. Moose is going to yell like an idiot.
Kenny's just going to look like an idiot. But Moose is going to look like an idiot. He's going to, I mean, yell, fuck, I don't know what I'm talking about. We're going to take
you
shots.
Up, but basically, I think what you were getting to is I'm going to hit you one time with a great drive.
This is the fuck I'm talking about, this shit.
I knew where you were going. Don't worry.
So hit us with subs, hit us with bits and all that shit. And if you're watching the replay on YouTube, we love you too. Go ahead and hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. But you are missing out on the live post-game show after the game. The chat be lit, especially on a drip drop night. We are going to have a good time, no matter how badly Jimmy Butler failed us tonight. Let's go ahead and find out what everybody's drinking, Bryce. Okay, Moose, I already know what the fuck you're drinking. drink a lot of that shit tonight. We need it. Go ahead. What are you drinking, Moose? Brad, should we do who kicked our ass as well?
Oh, yeah, we're doing like a combo thing? Yeah, right. Sure. Let's, okay, hey, we haven't done that in a minute because we've been so fucking good lately. Here we go. Yeah.
They kicked our ass.
All right, so... want to know what you're drinking and who kicked our ass tonight.
Okay, so you already know I got my monkey barrel. I mean, monkey shoulder. So I got that going. Who kicked our ass tonight? Man, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that Kyle Lowry kicked our ass because not having him on the court tonight really, really muddled up our offense. And, of course, not having our all-star and the engine of our scoring machine that is Tyler Hero, Mr. Drip Drop. So, yeah, that's really what fucked us up tonight. But we are going to celebrate anyways the fact that we are still here and that we are going to be coming up on a big game on Sunday. And either way, I'm going to drink. So hit him one time with a Drip Drop.
Oh, my bad. I forgot to drink. This game fucked me up so bad. Kenny, what are you drinking tonight, and who kicked our ass?
All right, so I got the Bacardi Gold and orange juice. Forget the new camera. That's not what I splurged on. I splurged on the Simply Orange, not the Walgreens brand like last time.
Oh, shit.
I got coming the Simply. Up. Hey, I'm feeling like Dang. Bill Gates. And who kicked our ass? NBA basketball. I know everybody's out there frustrated. It's fine. I understand. My mood never changes. Listen, no matter how great a team is, they're gonna lose to teams they shouldn't lose to at times. It's an 82-game season. It happens. It just wasn't their night. They were missing bunnies. It's fine. We know what the team is capable of. It's okay.
Thank you for that measured response after I ranted and raved for 3 fucking minutes trying to make me look bad, motherfucker. Brass, what are you drinking tonight and who kicked our ass?
So tonight I am drinking, it's the first time I made this. This is called a Five and Dime, which is gin, apricot liqueur, lemon juice, orgeat, and Angostura bitters and orange bitters. So a simple little drink. Who kicked our ass tonight? I'm gonna go with Kevin Huerter because when you have, this is the first time I think we've had we haven't had the best white on the floor.
Oh,
so that's right. Unfortunate. So I mean, Duncan was lighting it up at the end, but you know, Huerter was pretty consistent tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. You know what? That's two. That's
two strikes.
We haven't even gotten through intros. Solana,
where's the fucking lie, Solana? Where's the fucking lie?
You're getting skipped and we're coming back to you. Frankie, what are you drinking tonight and who kicked our ass?
I'm drinking some Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know how to say that shit. Jimmy Butler
was pretty damn good. That's pretty good. That's from a Haitian, so you know.
Really Jimmy Butler through it. Ass.
he was terrible, forgot to show up. And when he did show up, it was awful. That missed layup was absolutely one of the worst things I've ever seen. And we saw Justice, Dion, and many others finish and play here. And then that play call at the end, you know, I knew the Jimmy Butler 3 was coming. I didn't just think it was going to be a fadeaway in the corner, falling away to the out of bounds. So That Jimmy kicked her ass tonight. Awful.
Yeah.
Solana back. Solana, you got your two strikes in. We just got to the 10-minute mark. What are you drinking tonight and who kicked our ass?
Just means I'm doing my job. So Frankie, I too have a little vino. I have an initial 2019 Malbec, but this is actually impressive. This is for wifey. This is for wifey. She's she's in she's in the living room. Babe. Yeah. I got the nice key lime cherry, funky Buddha, hard seltzer. Listen.
Oh, that's crisp.
Sounds good.
Ethan says Solano looks like he's about to give us an Antifa report.
Thank you for the warm welcome, Smeathan.
Solana, it's been a minute, man. Where you been?
Yeah.
And you come back as the most embarrassing loss of the
season. He's in an undisclosed location. He can't tell you.
He really does. Look at the background.
My contract was being disputed, and then I logged on to Twitter today, come to find out Alf's trying to trade me to Five Reasons for Roy. So,
wow.
That would be a fleecing. So
I just felt like
99% sure that offer was turned down very fast. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know you had a contract.
Well, I didn't know. I was under the impression that there was a no trade clause. Apparently, that was Johnny lying. And I've come to remind you of my value. That way, at least if you're going to trade me, you get something a little better, right? Not just Royal, maybe Royal and a first round. Or I feel like just one person for me is, I don't know. I felt a little disrespected, Alf.
It looks like you and Kenny traded internet, and I want to say you lost the trade.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To remind us of your value, you try to trade Jimmy Butler and Brass in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Butler cost me a lot of money tonight. I bet Jimmy over 21 points. Listen, Jimmy gets tossed from a game. Terrible decision by the referee. We know. I watched everybody's reaction to it after. You would think you get tossed from a game unfairly. You'll follow that up with a good performance. You come out head straight
against the shit team. Yes.
Instead, not only does he struggle, I mean, Jimmy looked disinterested, right? In the first half. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, he just looked like he didn't want to be there. I saw somebody put in this in our chat that it was a trap game. He looking forward to the Lakers. But they battled back, so kudos to them at the end. Jimmy Butler, bro. Figure it out.
You know what that pissed me? That's what pissed me off. Like, they battled back, right? Moose. Like, they come back from a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter. A game like last year,
last year they don't come back.
They were on the bus by 6 minutes left last year. They come back, powered by Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo. Like, they're busting their ass tonight. And then for the star player, and like, listen, this is not an indictment on Jimmy's season or Jimmy as a player. We're talking about one game. Everybody
and the rarest occasions of which, because if there's any player that is always dialed in, it's Jimmy Butler. So I'm not gonna hammer him that much for tonight, but yes, chill
on?
With no context. I will say to kind of back up Solana, yes. Tonight, you can put this on Jimmy Butler because he completely looked disinterested tonight. He looked like someone, like if this was NBA 2K, you're just simming to the next game. Like you were just so focused on Sunday that, yes, your body was there, but mentally he didn't show up to play until the very end of the game. And by then it was just a little bit too late. I think that this one is just one of those situations that it's going to happen in the season where the team just was more looking forward to the next game. And as soon as Jimmy Butler went out, that's when this team started their comeback to kind of like close the gap and actually get in this. So Jimmy Butler, for as much as we want to give him credit for all the good things, tonight he was just not helping us in any way. And I can't say that he was even contributing to that comeback there at the end.
No, he hurt them. He literally hurt the comeback. And Kenny, I know you're a big Duncan proponent. Yep. Let's not talk about Jimmy for half a second, and let's talk about Duncan. I mean, answering the haters in the fourth quarter with 12 points. I mean, they outscored the Hawks 34-22 in the fourth, and just. Jimmy came in and played. I'm sorry. I just said I wasn't going to talk about Jimmy. Talk to me about Duncan and, like, is this something that he could build off of going forward?
It is. And it's what I've been saying all year. And I also have to give credit to Tiffany Meeks. We can sit here. We can talk about who's struggling at what times, whatever the case is. We never panic. You two out. We never panic because we know what Duncan's capable of. And so in situations like tonight, where you're down 14 with, I guess, 4 minutes left or somewhere around there, you need to hit some threes, and you have one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA there. And so he did what he had to do. He stepped up when he was needed. All the arguing about who plays in the fourth and all that stuff, it doesn't matter. You take what you can get at the time. And at the time, Duncan did step up. It was a game again. Jimmy slipped. I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want to be too positive tonight. He did slip on a layup attempt. But listen, it's just
– then bring it down. Then bring it down and go back up. There was nobody in his vicinity. That's my problem with it. You know what I mean? Like, bring it down and, you know, that's just frustrating.
And I don't know what Max even did after that. There was still a chance that he just, I don't know. If y'all seen that South Park episode, we were just spontaneously combusting. That was Max.
Solana, what did you think of the Max putback?
That was actually a great reference. Great reference by Kenny, actually. I will say, though, in the NBA, no matter how good your team is, we can go back to the big three era. I'd like to see numbers of when a team plays another team three times in, 10 days, 11 days?
Yeah.
How many times that resulted? Right. How many times that resulted in a three-game sweep? There's no doubt Atlanta is not as good as Miami. I don't think anybody would argue that. Also, by the way, Atlanta dropping confetti after like their fourth straight win. Like
they dropped confetti. Yeah, you guys,
oh shit, they really did that?
I did not know.
I think so. Because I was in the car listening to the game on 790 and I heard Jason Jackson and Ruth Riley Hunter. They were talking about, they're like, hey, you know, we hang championship banners in Miami. Atlanta, they hang a nice little division banner last season, and now they're dropping confetti for a regular season win in January. That's real nice. So Jax and Ruth Riley taking shots at the Hawks. I didn't watch the last part of the game on the TV, so I don't know for sure they dropped confetti. But if they did, they deserve to get blasted.
It's
that.
Atlanta.
That sounds like trash.
That sounds like trash flying around the arena. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's a dump.
It might have been trash, but I'll say this only because as someone that listens to the Jason Jackson experience when he's doing the radio play-by-play, it could have been absolutely nothing. You have no idea what's going on. Sometimes he's just saying shit.
he was watching an old...
He's saying everything but the score of the game. It's so
he was watching an old playoff game.
You know you can't say that shit with Solana here.
No, but I mean, I love the guy. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Great. Come on. It's great.
I'm a big proponent of Jason Jackson.
He's fantastic.
His excellent work.
He's excellent. Hilarious when he is not doing play-by-play.
I miss Jax on TV. I'm not going to lie. So do I. Miss that.
Yeah, me.
He's a staple on it.
Every time I hear him on radio, I miss him on TV. Frankie. Yeah. I don't want to hear this fucking this look ahead to the Lakers shit. I wanted to scream at Moose in the middle of his fucking soliloquy, but like, why are we looking ahead to an eighth place team in the Western Conference that's fucking trash? Like, why are you looking ahead to the Lakers? Like it's some big time matchup. The motherfuckers suck. Were you worried about Stanley Johnson so you can't focus on Trae Young?
Hey man, Malik Monk is coming to town, and when Malik Monk plays the Heat, you got to worry about it. There's nobody
he might
else
give us 60.
I'm scared of, but Malik Monk. That guy's gonna come. I'm already watching the scouting report. I don't care how bad he's played. He's gonna fucking light us up tomorrow on Sunday. I don't agree with the fucking bullshit that Jimmy came today. We always let Jimmy slide. Jimmy slides all the fucking time. When he plays bad, you know, we give him some slack. We cut him slack all the time. Today wasn't about him playing bad. It was just energy-wise, defense. It was effort. That shit's inexcusable. If he's missing shots, taking good shots and missing them, that's all right. That happens. But he was fucking completely dejected today.
Frankie, the defense was bad.
No energy. No fucking energy. He's gambling all the time. Yeah, we didn't even get to bring this up, but the play where Trey had the alley-oop to Capella right before, like, to stretch it back out, it was because Jimmy gambled for the pass and gave Trey a wide open lane. Bam had to step up and give up the lob. There was nothing we could do. And it's just Jimmy making stupid decisions all fucking game. And like Moose stole my point from the chat that they couldn't even come back with him in the game. They took him out with like 6-7 minutes to go.
Solana started it.
They get energy and they start chipping away. The ball starts moving more and the shots start falling because the ball isn't stagnant. It's not come down running ISO for Jimmy trying to attack a mismatch. And everyone's standing around and then hope to get the ball. Everyone starts touching the ball, moving the ball well, and they missed Kyle tonight. This was exactly like you said. So something one of the games that looked like last year where they just stand around, watch Jimmy work, and Jimmy gets his numbers. Jimmy didn't get his numbers tonight. But when he was in, they looked like a completely different team when he was in versus off today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Well, let's talk about when he was in. Brass, I believe you have the aforementioned Jimmy blown layup and, Jimmy's last two significant plays of the game.
Right.
Beautifully designed play after the timeout and blown layup. Like, and I know Kenny said he slipped, but if you don't have it, you could come down there, bring exactly. The ball down,
yeah,
go back up. You're going to get fouled by DeAndre Hunter because he's flying in out of control.
You could have been an and-one situation.
And-one situation. It's just, I don't know. Frankie, what did you see there?
It does look like he slipped. The way his left leg flies up in the air, it tells me like he had no balance. But, man, what a beautiful play to drop and fucking great pass. Great fucking heads-up.
Perfect pass.
That like Spo had Trey fucking picked off the ball, had nobody there, and fucking Jimmy just slips and fucking blows it.
And then a commenter says, why didn't he foul DeAndre Hunter right there? There was less than 24 seconds.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We wait till it gets into Trey Young's hand. And then they lost like 6 seconds at that point.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Good point.
That's a great point.
I think at that point, even Jimmy saying like, "Well, what the fuck just happened?" Like he's like almost needs a minute. But I agree. Yeah, that's a great man. Point.
Like this is bullshit. He played. He fucking completely fucked this game up tonight.
He really fucked this game up.
Yeah, clogged everything up.
And then somehow
had another chance though.
You still have a chance to win the game here, not tie. Win the game. Reminding you that Duncan Robinson has hit 4 threes. And look what Duncan Robinson's doing, standing there. Oh, great shot. And then this moment.
Then Max.
I'm not sure what that shit was.
I got it, guys.
I don't understand like the Jimmy threes at the end of every game because we talked about Duncan. Bam was going off too in the fourth.
Yes, bro.
Yeah,
Bam was playing aggressive at the end.
I would have rather had Bam shoot the three.
What I don't understand is, Frankie, you know, you are more X's and O's than I am. Everybody is. but why don't you run the Bam the Bam Duncan dribble handoff there. And if they swarm to Duncan like they probably would, like Capella and Herter swarm to Duncan, now you have Bam rim running where he's going to get a foul or he's going to make the shot. And if he misses it, it's a better shot than Jimmy in the corner.
No, I'm sorry, Max. Like some people were saying, like, this wasn't the play. But the way that the other three are just standing around the perimeter kind of tells me they were there just for, like, and then to bail out. Like,
bro, that absolutely was the play. Get the fuck out of here.
That was 100% the play. Spo was going to give him a chance to make up for the last play. Spo was going to give his guy a chance.
It surprised me. Like, does nobody remember?
Had time to take
Wade. Wayne Wade took the three every fucking time.
Right.
Exactly.
I was about to say that, Frankie. Where if you remember the way Spo coached with Wade, it didn't matter how bad of a game Wade had. It didn't matter Wade's 3-point percentage. He was gonna ride or die with Dwayne Wade, and he would say that after games. Yeah. By the way, Spoelstra was very, very transparent with that. Like, I'm riding with Dwayne Wade because why wouldn't I? It's the exact same way he approaches late game situations. Not John Crotty with Jimmy Butler, because you saw it there. Like, there's no actual reason to draw a play for Jimmy Butler, shoot a pointer in the corner when you're down. Well, what, they were down one, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. They're down two. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Now, I always agree that you go for the three on the road, down two. Oh, like, listen, let's get the fuck out of Atlanta. Nobody wants to be there. Trash is falling from the ceiling after the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's a shitty place to be, right?
But the thing fans is, don't even want to be there. You shoot the Miami Heat.
You shoot the three so a guy like Max can get the offensive rebound and not do that shit. All right? So,
yeah.
I don't understand why you're not going to I mean, everybody on the floor is a better three-point shooter than Jimmy Butler at that point.
Yeah.
Like, you went to your worst three-point shooter, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
And not only that, but an on-the-move, falling out of bounds towards the baseline. Like, with 6 seconds, like, that's also on Jimmy. Like, that was a terrible play design.
What's that Patrick Ewing meme? Do you shoot that shot? What if you ever shot that shot? That was Jimmy. Like, what are you doing, motherfucker?
Like, it would have been nice if Jimmy passed up the shot and then looked – like, if they had something going on the opposite side, like, Bam sets a screen for Duncan coming off, and they're not expecting that, and Jimmy hits them. That would have fucking caught him off guard. But instead, everyone's just staring around watching Jimmy.
I see it again.
Oh, God. Why are you doing this?
I just
want to see the truth.
That's the part that I want to focus on right now.
I'm just trying to –
Got it! I got it, guys!
I mean, props to Struce for jumping in and getting the rebound.
Yeah, but come on.
But that was a boneheaded play. Like, Jimmy's about to shoot a three. Guys, run towards the fucking basket. He's going to miss.
Yeah.
I do see what happened now. Max did get pushed, but he has to. He's not getting that call in that situation.
No, you are not. He's not
Max Struce. Unless
you're Trae Young.
Yeah, he's not getting a call. But also, I do want to, and I'm so positive so often that I brought myself the right to get this off. That is one of the very few things about the Heat that's kind of, I don't know. They are antiquated in some things. And so in this case, you don't have to just force a game winner with your best player every time. That's a very 90s Michael Jordan thing. You don't have to do that. They could have ran a lot, play for Bam or something, whatever the case may be. They could have did the Duncan and Bam handoff.
I'd argue, and Kenny, I get what you're saying, but I'd argue that they haven't fallen victim to that, you know, as much as maybe some other teams have. We know that iconic, and I'm not saying that like tonight, right? Tonight was a perfect example, but we know that iconic inbound play whenever there's like 5/10 of the second left, where it's the alley-oop, there's like a screen at the top of the key, and like we've seen Wade put it in, and then how many times has LeBron criticized for making the correct basketball play but shying away from the big moment and not wanting to take the basket, passing it to UD for game winners? So I get what you're saying, though, and you're not wrong. Yeah. Like, tonight was a perfect encapsulation of, hey, let's just shoot a three-pointer, give it to Jimmy Butler, let's get the fuck out of Atlanta. If we win, if we lose, which is stupid when you battle back, you claw back, and you actually have a chance to win. Like, I'm with you. You'd like to see them draw up a competent play in that situation. But I wouldn't say that, like, the Heat are prone to doing that or they always do
not
it. Like,
I disagree with you.
I disagree with this comment.
I disagree with you, Solana, altogether, because – when they had LeBron, LeBron did make the right play every single time, whether it was to shoot it or pass it, get it to UD. Somebody was open. He was going to make the right play. But Wade and Jimmy, okay, but I, Wade and Jimmy.
Yeah, this guy's going too far, the comment.
Spo does that shit. He trusts them implicitly. We have seen time after time. I wrote it on the timeline. I knew Jimmy was taking the game-winning three. I knew it. Everybody in the arena knew it. Like, now before Jimmy got here and it was just a clusterfuck of randos, yeah, they drew up a play.
Right? Dion.
Or Dion just shot the last shot. But whenever he has that guy, the Jimmy, wait, he does do that. And honestly, you know what? Maybe he decides that it is better to lose a game in Atlanta trusting your star player than it is to take the ball out of your star player's hands. But what I will say is you are not preparing anybody else to make the big shot in that situation, right? Bam got one chance against the Nets last year. Duncan has never had the chance. Tyler's taken into his own hands before. But you're not giving other guys that experience. Okay, we're going to run this play for you, Steve Kerr, John Paxson kind of shit. You're just saying, Jimmy, we're going to run the two-man game with you in the corner and take a shitty three. We've seen it too many times. I think some of the people are going too far in the chat.
Yeah.
Saying Spo doesn't know how to draw up an out-of-bounds play or
after time. That's what I want to address, because if anything, he is elite at the after timeout, inbounds pass or a play or whatever you want to call it. Like, Spo is fantastic at drawing up an offensive play on the spot. So I just want to push back a little bit against you, Alf. Like, I do think there is something to what you're saying, but I think where Spo relies on his star player at the end of the game is to make the overall call. Are you going to take the shot or are you going to pass it? But at the end of the day, I'm going to ride with you and I'm going to let you decide. The ball is in your hands. If you want to shoot, you're going to have the shot.
Jimmy's not good at it.
That's fine. He's not. But I agree. But he's saying, Jimmy, I'm going to ride with you. If you're going to end up passing it for an open shot, you got some options here. I got them lined up for you. But the ball's in your hands. You make the call. And I'm okay with that. Live and die with your star.
Raz, play the play one more time. Game winner, because there were no options on this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Well, guys are just standing around watching Jimmy at that point.
Because it's the play. Yeah. You don't have a lot of time for a bunch of motion.
You got 8 seconds left when he had the ball in his hand. So
they could have still moved the ball around there.
But that's,
there was not nearly enough movement going on.
But it's Jimmy fading to the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the design.
So the more I see it, it actually wasn't a play. He wanted to drive. They brought the help. He passed to Caleb. They just were winging it. Bad idea in that situation. And that explains why everybody's just standing around. But, I mean, I'm going to just stick with – Spo has to – well, I'm not the Hall of Fame coach here, but if it's me, I go to one of the hot hands. Caleb was also playing well. Yeah. You probably don't go to him at the end of the game, but – him, Bam, or Duncan, you can draw something up to have at least those three options rather than just going to the person who struggled the most.
Can I pose a maybe controversial question? And no. You can shut it down, Susie. You can shut it down, Susie, if you want. But we keep seeing a bunch of people in the chat bring up that Tim Reynolds tweet, Jimmy's 4 of 27 with under a minute left for go-ahead baskets or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Somebody could send it again. I remember
it's just threes. It's not just go ahead, but yeah, threes in the last minute of a game.
Yeah, I remember when Jimmy Butler was in Philadelphia before the Heat traded for him. I remember him being like the guy that was finally there to win them games, and he hit. I vividly remember replays of him hitting big shots. Zero ticks left on the game clock, and he's hitting game winning buzzer beaters. Like, can we have this conversation where, look, Jimmy Butler's our leader. We can't question everything Jimmy Butler's brought to this franchise. So I'm not overreacting to one missed three-pointer, one bad shot in January, but he hasn't been like Mr. Clutch in Miami. Am I right? Like, am I right about that?
He has not.
Not this season.
Last
year he was great in the clutch.
I'm not saying
he had some games. It was two
seasons
ago.
I'm not saying in the clutch because the bubble finals, like, you couldn't have asked for more from Jimmy again. I was joking with Trey Jimmy. I'm just saying, like, in general, the idea of like the clutch shooter who's gonna this Kobe Bryant who's gonna do step backs, hit him in your mouth as time expires.
Kobe wasn't,
like,
Kobe wasn't the actual Kobe that people say.
But that's what I want to say, too. That's what I want to say, too. Yeah. That's not a stat to look too deep into because everybody's clutch shooter numbers are really bad.
It's tough. It's a bad shot. It's always.
You're typically going to get a bad shot. So. You're typically going to get a pretty bad shot. So I'm not going to look too deep into that stat. But we have seen Jimmy hit big threes also. So that was a horrible shot. I don't agree with that play. But I mean,
he's hit a couple, but that's not his shot. Like, to me, if Jimmy, I want Jimmy going to the basket because you know what Jimmy's going to do is going to get fouled. But if it's going to be a three, bro, you had 7 seconds left when Jimmy shot the fadeaway three in the corner.
Yeah.
If the play didn't work, because you said he was looking for the drive. If to me, if he was looking for the drive, he bailed on the drive way too early.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
now if you're stuck in the corner, swing it. Mm-hmm. Caleb's right there. You're one pass away from Duncan Robinson, who's one pass away from Bam Adebayo streaking to the rim. Like, there's other things to be done. Like, that hero ball mentality is fucking shitty.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
But it's also why we love him, right?
No,
I don't like. I don't.
No?
I never
liked him
shooting three. Except for three pointers at the end of the game.
I never wanted Dwayne shooting that shot either.
Never.
Yeah, but just
I like
that
the
mentality.
Ball in his hands at the end.
The
I
mentality.
Do,
I'm kind of with Solana on that one though.
It's the mentality of I don't care. Like, this is my team. I don't care if we win. It's going to be because, you know, I had the balls to take that shot. And if we lose, sorry, I'll get the next one. Like, that was Wade's mentality. And I get it. We can not like it or like it. And tonight we don't like it. But I kind of like my guy feeling like I'll make any shot at any moment of any game because I'm Jimmy Butler.
Speaking of shots, Vane Hype gifted a 1 month tier one sub to Kevin Herter. So hit a moose.
Gotta hit him one time with a drip drop.
That's funny. But Solana, if he hits that shot, we're all still like, that was a garbage shot. We're happy to win. We're like,
my biggest issue is that there was 7 seconds left. There was way more he could have done. But at the end of the day, it's January. Yeah. We don't have to be too sad about
it. Listen, we're talking about this game, but anybody who's like extrapolating this out, like,
yeah, it's not.
Jimmy's the problem. The problem with the team that is – because, by the way, the Bulls lost tonight. The team that is still technically tied for first place, don't tell me what the problem is. Like, calm all that shit down. We're talking about tonight. Tonight, he was bad. Like, and we, like, this thing is like, you can call a spade, right? And I don't know if it's that rate. That's
shout
racist.
Out G.
No,
not,
just only when G.
Okay, when G. But you can also, like, not, like, judge their whole career on a game in Atlanta in January. Like, let's stop that shit.
We should laugh at Philly because they blew a 20-point lead.
I saw that.
And Embiid had 40.
And they blew it.
I kind of like
one time for losing y'all. Drip drop. Y'all suck.
I kind of like the idea of Spo in that last timeout huddle, just saying, "Hey, whoever gets a fucking look, just take it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go, right? You know, like, whatever.
Seriously,
let's go."
Sucks.
I was trying to get the blue
Listen,
flame. It's okay. I'm
on Netflix. Let's get the fuck out of here. Head back to the bus.
Yeah, he's like, Ozark is back. Let's fucking go, bro.
Both at hard 30.
Here, check out what Doc said. Let's check out this tweet here.
Kai Carlin tweets: Doc Rivers was asked about NBA Krell. Was asked by NBA Krell what about the loss could be attributed to coaching, and he answered, "Would you ask Pop that question? No, you wouldn't. So don't ask me that question. Pop. I've earned that."
You have not earned
that. What have you earned? Bro, the most unearned shit comes from that 2008 Celtics team.
That entire 2008 Celtics team, they think they are like...
They act like they're the 96 Bulls.
Give the basketball.
Doc's the first black guy with white privilege. Boston title is holding on to way too much weight.
First of all, a lot
don't
of
question
don't
me. I'm Doc Rivers. Bitch, that's why I'm questioning you. Because you're Doc Rivers.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give a gem to the audience members who don't know this because I am this like big giant vault of useless NBA history information. Doc Rivers bringing up Pop is funny because it's his fault. It's his fault 100% that the Magic didn't get a Tracy McGrady, Grant Hill, and Tim Duncan big three in 2000. He didn't want Tim Duncan's mom to ride, not his mom, somebody in his family ride on a plane. So he said, fuck that, you can go back to San Antonio. That's what Tim Duncan did.
Is that real?
I swear to God. Tim Duncan was a free agent in 2000 along with
had the chance to get Tim Duncan.
Are you there? Like, how do you know this?
I remember seeing something on Twitter about that.
Yeah. And Doc Rivers fucked it up. And so the Orlando Magic are still the Orlando Magic, and the Spurs became the Spurs.
God, hey, listen. Man.
And so thank you, Doc. So there you go.
That's a great message. The 08 Celtics thing to the 72 Dolphins. They so fucking true. Like, that's so true. They think that they're like, they're the ones that established the super team in the NBA, and they're the ones that changed the course of history in the NBA. It's like, settle down. Like, fuck now, you won championships. Settle down.
Like, yeah. Dude, you all Pierce is definitely relax.
Paul Pierce is definitely the Mercury Morris of that group.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, man. And so Philly lost. The Bulls lost. So basically the standings don't change. But you had a very, very good chance to be alone at the top of the East with a win against the fucking Hawks. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that hurts a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stinks.
It does, but Russell West was going to give us a win back on Sunday. It's fine.
Oh, I'm lying. They're now in third place.
They're third, yeah.
They're half game back, but KD's going to miss a ton of time.
And the Bulls are going to keep – they're going to keep losing.
What was it, Lonzo Ball, who's out?
Yeah, Lonzo's hurt too. Yeah. 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. So, and they're in trouble. I mean, other than Kyle Lowry's vacation or whatever, like, yeah, and Tyler will probably be back in 3 or 4 days. Like, you know, they'll be healthy.
I mean, PJ, I hope everything's all right with PJ.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
Wait, he played like 8 minutes tonight.
So PJ, it was like his knee was irritating him. He was questionable to come back tonight. He just didn't. So he'll be fine.
We made fun of G a lot, but. Are the Bulls about to look a lot like the Spurs of last year with DeRozan as your number one option and only option?
Absolutely.
It's probably going to be pretty rough.
I'm not going to give G credit for that take. No.
He dropped 35 tonight.
Yeah, because the Bulls were at their peak this season when he was talking shit about DeRozan. So, like, chill on that. Like, I mean, you know, it's hard. You can't be as fortunate as the Heat. Not everyone can be as lucky as us to have the deepest bench in history. This is what you get. I mean, listen, and, you know, regarding this loss tonight, we have no Kyle. We have no Hero. We had PJ for like 8 minutes. We didn't have Jimmy at all, really. I mean, this is just, it sucks. It sucks, but again, it's just like every other fucking loss this season.
One game in
you
January.
Can't really take that much away from it. I'm not panicking. You know, we've seen with we've been pounding our chest for weeks now. It's a little strange that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did they say?
No. Yeah. So his knee was just irritating him. He was questionable to come back in tonight. Okay. They just didn't.
Yeah, I did notice he was questionable. He wasn't ruled out. So that's good.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
Well, we did finally get the Bam Yurt minutes.
Yeah.
And all my mentions were, oh, they look pretty fucking great, don't they? Woo! They cut the lead down to 6. And like immediately that bitch went back up to 14. Yurt, sit your ass down. Let's get back to normal game plan. Caleb Martin, go in. You're our power forward. Like, I'm not saying it'll never work. Yes, I am. not saying it'll never work. But I mean, Kenny, we saw the Bam Yurt minutes, and
it looked good
for like 2 minutes when like they didn't know what the fuck to do with it, and then they realized, oh, this motherfucker can't move, and it was over.
Yeah, the Hawks had two bigs who also can't spread the floor, so it was just they looked good by default because everything was weird. But
it was Pacers Knicks 94.
Yeah, and so that's not the combo right now, unless Yurt's able to just pull a jumper out of his ass like people think he's going to.
Nah, just a stretch big, bro.
It's not anything to bang the table for. But that's not a knock on Yurt. I'm not the guy who ever shits on Heat players. He's gonna be good, but that. Clamoring for that 1-2 punch, it doesn't make too much sense to me.
Frankie, how did you like those minutes?
It was good to watch because you know you just want to see if it works or not. And then you see your Bam minutes are supposed to solve the rebounding, and then Yurt gives up two offensive rebounds. So like, oh, okay, I guess it doesn't solve the offensive rebound. Honestly, like they would have to try this out a lot more to make it work because they have to completely play their play style to play with two bigs that don't, neither of them really play on the perimeter to the 3-point line like that, and they're used to playing four out. So it's completely different for them, and it would take them like a good stretch of game for them to get used to going with it. I'm not sure if Yurt's at that level where it's worth it really. You might want to try it with Deadman first because Deadman has shown he can hit the three and has a little bit more of an offensive feel finding his spots in the paint, working around with like Jimmy and stuff. So I might give it try with him before I try it with Yurt. Like if you're going to make a commitment to trying to play big, if you might need it in the playoffs or something. But
yeah, we saw that against the Bucks and it didn't work either.
Yeah. But, you know, some people in the comments are saying, you know, Yurt didn't have enough time. You know, he'll get better. Yeah. Okay. He will get better. That's our point though.
Yeah.
Yurt is going to get better. He's going to improve. He has improved a great deal and he's going to continue to improve, I believe. But like, he's not the kind of guy that you plug into every game. This is why we were saying that you don't put him ahead of Deadman, who is, again, he's just a much more skilled, knowledgeable NBA-ready player.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Just don't
as click. He should be.
Right,
right.
Exactly.
As
he should be.
Right.
He's played for a million teams. Man. You know? So, like, I mean, just chill. Just because he doesn't have to play every fucking game. And so I agree. Bam just came back, so he's able to they'll start running some shit and practice.
Leo
with
in
him
the chat
Bam.
Says I've been racist towards Yurt. Have I been racist towards Yurt?
I mean,
you might as well start
racist.
Now.
Listen, you're I'm fairly racist, racist to everybody, okay? Yeah. Everybody gets the
it's
same amount of
Yurt.
Racial.
Yeah. He was always here trying to pick fights. He's just mad G's not here.
Do we even know what race Yurt is? Like, we would have to really narrow that down before we get racist.
No, isn't he Asian? Stop Asian hate.
I assume he was from somewhere in the
Turkey?
Middle East, but...
Where is this? It's usually Americans. In the frozen food section.
First of all, we're American, so we don't know shit. And we're from South Florida. We don't even acknowledge like 10 miles ahead above us. We don't know where anything is. It's okay. I don't know where around Broward.
I told somebody I was from Delray Beach and like, is that Orlando? I was like, oh man.
Al-561.
We're very ignorant and arrogant people. Bro, it's okay. So it's difficult to be a racist against
the roots are in Coral Springs.
Listen, if you're in from between Overtown and Carroll City, I have no idea what's going on. So
I think you're from Kendall.
You look like you're from Kendall.
That's a compliment. Hernandez. That's a compliment to Kendall people, by the way. That's a compliment. You're,
I think that's why Christian likes him so much.
That is probably why.
Yurt's fine, by the way. Like, that's a compliment to people from Kendall.
That dude is a fucking supermodel.
Yeah.
Is that Heat culture? Like, do you have to be like incredibly handsome to be on the Heat? Let's talk about this for a second.
I don't know. Have you seen Kyle Guy?
No. I was gonna say. Yeah.
Ask that question again. Ask that question again.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.